Well, I'm excited to jump back into our series tonight called Pardon the Interruption, because all of us are going through things right now that our lives are being interrupted and we're having to pause in different moments for different things. And it's just cool to be able to look at God's word and see that there are answers for us here. And specifically tonight, we're looking through this question of how do I find God's will in the middle of interruptions in my life? When the pause button gets hit, when the obstacle comes, it kind of stops right in the middle of my path that I'm on a journey on. How do I then look and go, God, what do you want from me? What are you saying to me in the middle of all this? Help me hear your voice and know what direction you're sending me onto. If you're changing my course, let me know that. And so as we look at scripture, we see a lot of different people throughout the Bible who are experiencing that very thing, who God steps into their life and they're on one course. They have this trajectory, and some of them it's good and some of them it's bad, but both ways God steps in and he stops them and he changes the direction of their life. And I love that we've been able to walk through some of these stories and see what God says about interruptions in our lives. We don't have to stop and listen to culture or get on social media or Google things to find answers to these questions about life. We have the word of God that is true and inerrant. There are no mistakes in God's word, and it was written by him for us. And so as we open up God's word and we see what he says about these interruptions, we're able to ask him that question. We're able to stop and go, okay, God, so what is it? What's the direction change here? What's the message? Why are you interrupting? I shared a few weeks ago that I often look at interruptions and paint them in a negative light immediately. This can't be a good thing because it slowed me down from reaching my goal. And as I look at scripture, I just don't see that being true, that so often God uses interruptions as a positive thing. He uses it as a tool to get my attention and say, hey, Rob, wake up. It's not about your goal. It's not about your destination and your finish line. It's about mine. And so often he'll use it to get my eyes to turn back to Jesus and off of the things that I've been so focused on. And so tonight we're getting back into Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verses 18 to 22. We'll go ahead and read those. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Here we have yet another example of these men in scripture who are being called by Jesus. And it's a bit of an interruption because they're in the middle of doing something. They're here and they're mending nets. They're working at their trade, which is fishing. And so they're going to pull in these fish and they're going to go sell them at market. And that's how they're going to feed their families. That's how they're going to support their wife and kids. That's their livelihood right there. And here comes Jesus. And right in the middle of a work day, right as they're on the job site, so to speak, Jesus shows up and he's like, hey, listen, get up and follow me. They get up immediately and they leave it all behind to walk after this man who just walked up and called them with just a few short words. These stories blow my mind because of the belief that these men must have in their heart about who this Jesus really is. He's not just some random stranger who's walking by, or there's no way they're going to get up and follow him. They must have something. They must know something about this guy, believe something in their heart about who he is, to be able to just leave this behind and follow. I love to look at this example because last week we saw how these men, as they were called by Jesus, that Jesus initiated the action. And that's always how it is in our relationship with Christ. He initiates the interruption. He's the one who steps into our life. We know that Jesus stepped out of heaven itself onto earth to go to a cross to save you and I, to forgive our sins and die, pay the penalty that we couldn't pay. Jesus initiated that interruption. And it was an awesome one because it allows you and I to have salvation if we respond. If we look at Jesus and say, yeah, I believe in what you've done. I trust in you to save me. And so Jesus always initiates the interruption. And then we look back at Jesus and it's our responsibility to obey. It's our responsibility to respond to his love that he's reached out with. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. And so we're able to then respond to Jesus. And the things that Jesus says to us is he stops and he brings this interruption into our lives. And we saw that you will always be doing something when he interrupts you. That's the inherent nature of an interruption. That you will be about something. You will be at work at something. You'll be chasing after something. Your eyes will be fixed at a goal and you'll be on this path when Jesus comes. But that's what makes it tricky. That's what makes it hard for people like me. As Jesus comes along and I'm busy, I'm at work and I'm focused on where I'm going and what I'm doing, it's hard to go, wait, hold on, Jesus, but like, hold on a minute. This is a good thing I got going here. And it's that very interruption that gives us an opportunity. It's not always a negative thing. It could be an opportunity for us to stop, to listen, and to hear a message we might not have heard if he hadn't interrupted. And in that interruption, Jesus could have some life-changing things for us if we're willing to stop and listen. And so I remember as I was going to, I was out in, I don't know where I was. I was in this with a bunch of friends, and we were in the middle of nowhere, literally, going through the woods. And as we were going through the woods, we were actually on our way to a waterfall, but it was like a two-hour walk. And somewhere in the woods there, tucked away, as we're walking with this group of friends and we're just goofing off, there was one friend who knew the way. I was just kind of going blind. But he knew the trail. He knew the path. He had been many times. He knew what kind of plants we shouldn't touch and what were okay. He knew that there were certain spots of the road we had to be careful of, but I didn't know where we were. I was flying blind. He also knew what kind of animals were there that we should be careful of and not touch certain things and go certain places. So this guy quickly became like our security blanket. We were like, I'm looking to him to know what to do. And as we're on this path on our way out to this waterfall, I am like, I'm watching this dude. I'm making sure I do what he does. I step where he steps. And at some point in our joking around and laughing and goofing off as we're walking through the woods, I ended up at the front of the pack. I kind of lost track of what was going on. I got confident and I'm walking and I'm laughing. And all of a sudden, I just hear a very stern command come out of that dude. His name was Alfredo. And Alfredo just yells out, stop. And immediately as I heard that, I knew it was serious. It wasn't joking. It wasn't just a friend goofing off. I knew there was a seriousness about his voice that caused me just to literally stop mid-stride in what I was doing. And immediately after I heard stop, I heard shush. And I see this machete go right by my head. See, Alfredo was carrying a machete for our safety and to like clear the path as we went. And I get upset. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you swinging a machete at my head, bro? And I turn, and as I turn to look, I see this half of a snake hanging down from the tree, just kind of dripping blood. And then on the ground, there's the other half kind of squirming. And in that moment, I realized what had happened, that this very poisonous snake had been hanging from the tree that I didn't notice. But he noticed. And as he yelled out, stop, that snake was just about to strike me as he swung that machete to kill it and probably literally saved my life, because we were about 2 hours in the middle of the woods and this was a very poisonous snake. I just stood there for a moment, turned white, and was just shell-shocked. Like, you just saved my life, man. You know, it was one of those moments where I was so grateful that I listened to what I was told. And I often think, what if I hadn't taken him seriously? What if I hadn't listened to him? What if I hadn't immediately obeyed what he had said? I might not be here on this stage today preaching to you tonight about this message from God's word. But I did. There was an immediate response as I recognized the authority of who was speaking. This guy knew where we were, even though I had no idea. And this guy knew what he was talking about that caused me to go, okay, I respect you. I respect your authority. And I immediately obeyed the command. And as I look at these men in this passage, I see both groups of men, as they're sitting there in their boats, do the exact same thing as Jesus calls out to them. The word is used twice. It says immediately. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And then John and his brother, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. There was an urgency. It was immediate that when Jesus called out, they were like, yes, I will do this. Now, don't misunderstand what's happening here. This isn't a small thing that they're doing. They're leaving their job. They're walking away from what feeds their kids to follow this man. These two brothers are leaving their own father sitting in the boat. To me, I feel like I would stop and have to kind of ponder that decision for a second. Like, let me weigh that in the balance. What you're asking me to do is, I don't know here. I need to think about this for a minute. But there's an immediate response. And I wonder, as I put myself in their shoes and I picture myself sitting in their boat and I see Jesus walk up, would I immediately respond? Would it be something I could just, my heart would just jump out of my chest and I would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I needed to get up and just start walking and follow him? Or would I stay there sitting in the boat, weighing the options, considering what's about to happen? And as I look at these men, you know, I realize that it's about belief. If you truly believe the person that's speaking to you, you can immediately respond to what they say. It's like looking around today. There are so many topics that we could use and look at as an example of this. And just one is masks. Some people wear masks because they believe they work and they believe the science behind them. Others are not wearing masks because they don't believe it. They think this whole thing's made up. And the debate kind of goes between there. And you might end up on either side of that. I'm not here to talk about that tonight. But the point is that if you believe it, you do it. And if you don't believe it, you don't. And here's Jesus walking up. And if they didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was, I doubt they ever would have got up out of that boat and followed him. And that causes me to stop and look at my life and the decisions that I have, the interruptions that come my way. And when Jesus is like, hey, Rob, I want you to do this, if I believe what Jesus is saying and who he is, I should be able to immediately respond to Jesus. It's when my heart is clouded with doubt or I'm so focused on other things that I forget that he deserves my respect and obedience. And I want to challenge you tonight as you listen to the Lord in these moments of pauses and interruptions. Will you believe in who Jesus is? Because as you believe that he is the Son of God, that he loves you, that he is good, that he has a better plan for your life than you have, there can be an immediate response of obedience to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Do you really believe? If you say you believe Jesus and you're not following him, then do you really believe him? Is he allowed to interrupt you? You see, there are so many Christians and even churches today that preach this gospel that just is totally against what we're studying now. This gospel that allows for sin to be rampant in our lives, to chase after our own goals and dreams and desires and not at all follow Jesus and what he's calling us to do. And these false gospels are allowing us to do both and say that it's okay, but Jesus is clear. If you say that you follow Jesus or that you believe in him, but you're not following him, do you really believe in him? We see that these men did. These men immediately responded out of a heart that was willing to say, yes, Jesus, you deserve it. You are worthy, and I will follow. You know, we also see here, not only did they immediately respond, but we see that they're willing to leave what they were doing, as important as it might have been, to follow Jesus. They were willing to leave very important things in order to follow Jesus. I think of, like, I love superhero movies. You guys know that about me. All good superhero movies have that moment at least once in the movie where the hero is caught between two choices. I think of Spider-Man, you know, and he's up and he's like got his girl over here. He's like his lady friend. And he's like holding her from falling and dying. And then over here, he's like fighting off the villain, or that scene where he's like holding the two pieces together, the boat. There's all these scenes where there's a choice to be made. Something super important on both sides, and you're kind of drawn between, stuck between the two. And I think of everyday life where we are constantly facing choices to either follow Jesus or hold on really tightly to the things we think we love. The things of this world that get our attention, that we desire so much, that are so hard to let go of, because a lot of them are good things. And we think because they're good things that, why should I have to let go of that? But Jesus is like, it's not about the quality of the thing. It's about who I am. You should love me more than anything and anyone else. And as we stand there stuck between these two choices, I would pray that we would always choose Jesus. That these men are sitting here like looking at their livelihood and their family and going, what are you asking me to leave behind? But they were immediately able to obey because they saw the face of Jesus. It's a beautiful thing when you catch a glimpse of Jesus in all his glory. When in your life, you're able to see Jesus for who he truly is. The Jesus that loves you enough to die on a cross. The Jesus who is all powerful, is better than everything. The Jesus who is infinite and eternal. The Jesus who created and sustains everything that exists. The Jesus who chases you down with his love and grace and forgiveness. You catch a glimpse of who Jesus really is, and you stop going through the motions of Christianity and church life and ministry and these empty things that will never fill you up, as good as they are. Because you've tried to replace them with the one that should be at the center of your life. Catch a glimpse of the true Jesus. Let him fill you. And all of a sudden, you have no excuses left. Excuses are easy to make. If Jesus, every time he comes, he's always interrupting something in your life, that thing will always be a possible excuse. Jesus, I can't right now because I'm studying for a test. Jesus, I can't right now. I'm trying to get a 4.0, or I'm trying to get good at this sport, or I'm trying to build my relationship with this person, or I'm trying to focus on this over here, Jesus. I just always have an excuse. Work is so busy and I've got so much to do. I don't have time to stop and get in your word, Lord. Excuses will always be there. But there comes a moment when we're stuck between the two choices of our excuses and Jesus, and he's saying, will you drop everything in that hand and just follow me? I'm not saying it's easy. I never claimed that. It wasn't easy for these men. It wasn't easy for any of these stories that we've read in Scripture for them to just choose and follow after Jesus. But it was the best choice they ever could have made. See, interruptions will mean we have excuses, but Jesus always wants us to choose him above it all. I think of Paul on his way to Damascus, and he's on that road. His name was still Saul, and he's persecuting the church. And as he's going down this road, and Jesus just comes out of nowhere, and light is shining, and his glory is everywhere. And Paul's like, whoa, and he goes blind over the glory that he sees. And Jesus is like, hey, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? He falls to the ground before Jesus, this massive, powerful God who just like shows himself to him, interrupts his journey. Paul looks back at Jesus. And he probably thinks about that question for a minute. I'm persecuting your church? A Saul who would go and arrest Christians for believing? And Jesus, in that moment, have Christians put to death for believing in Jesus. But in that moment, in the middle of all of that sin in his heart and distraction and focus on the world, Jesus shows up in a way that he cannot deny. And that interruption, when he looks at that face, he sees the Jesus that is undeniable. Not this small Jesus that we tend to make in our minds as we like to picture him, and he's easy to push into a corner, but a Jesus that makes his way into our life and says, here I am, you cannot ignore me. And sometimes that's exactly what he does. Saul's name turned to Paul, and he followed Christ and became one of the greatest church planters to ever walk the face of the planet. Because Jesus showed up and he was willing to look back and say, yes. And it's not always that easy. Sometimes it's not always that clear, and Jesus doesn't show up that strongly to us. And that's why the Apostle John says in his book, he tells us to abide in Christ, and Christ will abide in us. To spend time at the feet of that Jesus we're talking about. To remember who he is, to think about who he is, to pray and talk to him and read his word and learn about him. And as we engage in this relationship daily with Jesus, our eyes become so focused on Jesus that when he shows up, when he interrupts our lives, we're like, I know who you are. Just like those men in the boat, Jesus walked by and they were like, I know who you are. I can immediately follow you because I recognize your face. Would you recognize Jesus tonight? If he pushed pause in your life and showed up and said, come on, let's go right now. Would you have to stop and be like, I'm not sure? Or because you've been abiding in Jesus and spending time with him, you recognize his face and you're like, you? Let's go. I know who you are. I will follow you. But see, when our eyes get so focused on all of the other stuff, and our day gets spent putting garbage in our minds, and we look at things all day long and read things all day long that are constantly showing us the world, and we're engaged in other things and focused on work and focused on school and focused on sports, that's what we see, and our eyes become focused on things here, all around us. So when Jesus shows up, our eyes have to adjust, and we're like, man, I don't even recognize you. I need to take a minute to see, because we've been focused on this junk. That when a true treasure shows up, we can't even see it. If you want to be able to immediately say yes when Jesus shows up and calls you, spend time with Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Keep your eyes daily fixed on Jesus as you go to hang out with your friends. Let the words of his love be on your tongue as you talk to your friends and encourage them. As you sit in your classes, as you're doing whatever it is you do, your hobbies and your goals that you're chasing after, let Jesus be a part of that. So as your day is full of Jesus and you're abiding in him when he shows up, there's no doubt who he is. Like, I know your face. I spent the whole day with you. Yes. Interrupt. Change my plans. Change the course of my life. Whatever. I thought I was going over there and I was super excited about that dream. But God, if you're changing it and sending me this way, let's go. I know your face. I can trust you. Not only is this going to be way better, I get to go with you. Even if this road stinks, Lord, if I get to walk with you, let's do it. Let's go down that road. Because I know who you are. I see your face and I recognize it. And then I can immediately obey what he says. I don't know where you are today or what you're doing or what kind of interruptions have all of a sudden just jumped into your life. But I can tell you that there's a constant. And his name is Jesus. And he wants your obedience. He wants your heart. And he's got so much love that you will never get to the bottom of it or the end of it. And I would encourage you today that as you look at these different interruptions that are happening, to keep your mind set on Jesus. Don't immediately say, man, this is a bummer. This thing must be so negative. But instead say, God, what are you doing in this? And when you see his face pop out and he's like, hey, follow me. You're like, I know who you are. Let's go. I want to follow. I want to ask you if you would, right where you are, whether you're in your living room or Just sitting in an office. I don't know where you are tonight, but if you would bow your head, if it's safe for you to do so, if you're driving, don't do it. And I just want to pray with you. I want to pray this over you, that God would do this active work in your life. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, I do pray for everyone, wherever they are tonight. I know we're scattered all over the place. But God, you know where each of us is at tonight. You know what we're going through. You know the interruptions we're facing and the heartache and the crisis. You know those who are laughing and those who are crying. And Lord, I just ask that you convince us deep in our hearts to believe that you are who you say you are. That we would stop being okay with these like second-rate things that aren't treasures at all. It's really trash. And God, not substitute that for the real thing of who you are. Would you amaze our hearts? Would you overwhelm us? Would you show up to us in ways where we're like, man, I see you, Jesus. I can't wait to follow after you. Lord, I pray even as we stand on the stage tonight that those of us who are up here would be full, overwhelmed by the fact that you've died for us and that you love us. God, we've spent our week with you. So tonight we lead worship out of a place of knowing you, of knowing how good you are. And we just want others to know that too. So I pray that those who are listening and tuning in tonight, God, that they would have that experience with who you are, Jesus. They would see your face and go, you're the real deal. I want to know him better. We love you, Lord. Bless everyone where they are. Help us to be bold about speaking your gospel. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.